iHeart Podcasts. Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So when you were growing up, was your dad just full of dad jokes?
Oh, so many dad jokes. Like, he made a lot of puns, but he also did this thing where he would just repeat, like, Dana Carvey catchphrases. Like, he loved SNL, so he'd, like, do his George Bush in an Indian accent, and it would just make us groan.
I love the idea of your dad in an Indian accent doing an impression of Dana Carvey doing an impression of George Bush or whatever it was.
The church lady, whatever it was.
The church lady, yeah. Well, my dad was right there with him, and he is still full of these dad jokes. In fact, I think part of the fun of having my kids grow up around my parents is actually getting to see them react to the daddest of dad jokes. And if you were to ask them, like, which one sticks out the most to them, it would probably be when we see my parents on New Year's Day. And they know this is coming. As soon as we pull up in the driveway, he's going to be waiting right there to say, I haven't seen you all year. And of course, uh-huh. You know, they roll their eyes, but they love every second of it.
I know. So I remember my dad making some horrible joke knowingly, like about, I think it was about MC Hammer's pal being called MC Screwdriver or something. And, you know, I knowingly mess up lyrics or like do the floss dance wrong or whatever, you know, just to get a reaction like that aw dad for my kids because it's the best.
Do you think that if you did the floss dance correctly, that it would be any less embarrassing for them? I'm pretty sure.
No, equally embarrassing.
It doesn't matter. But you know what, Mango? There's actually good news for all of us dads. It actually turns out there appears to be benefits of these corny jokes. So there was this fun article from The Telegraph in the UK a couple years ago, and it was looking at a few different studies on this. But the author of the piece, his name was Rob Kemp. He put it this way. He says, by playing with words, dads engage their kids in the flexibility of language, encouraging them to think about words too. And this other research showed that the jokes actually help build these stronger relationships and in some ways may even help fathers cope with their kids growing up.
Huh. Well, whether the science behind all this is sound or not, I'm in full support of this theory.
Me too. Well, as you know, it's Father's Day this weekend, so we thought we'd share some other fun facts in honor of all the great dads in our lives and all the other dads out there. So let's dive in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. Although today, Mango is joining me from the always friendly Mouth Media Studios in New York City. We always love recording there whenever we're in the city. So Mango, I hate that you're missing this here, because the man on the other side of the soundproof glass, with a Sharpie and a drawing pad, holding up one dad joke after another to the glass, that's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. So what's the latest one? It says, he's holding one up that says, what's brown and sticky? A stick. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this.
Well, don't think I'm missing out on this because he just texted me, spring is here. I got so excited, I wet my plants. That's terrible.
You know, the guy doesn't even have kids, but he's actually better at dad jokes than we are. But,
so much better at dad jokes.
I'm not that surprised, to be honest with you. All right, well, let's keep the dad thing going. So what's your first fact of the day, Mango?
So I think you could probably predict where I'm going to go with the first fact here.
It's going to be an animal fact, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the thing. I feel like we've all heard about how incredible like those emperor penguins are, just like protecting the eggs and keeping them warm. And then you've got this fact about seahorses because the males are actually the ones who get pregnant. But I actually want to talk about a different creature, and that's the clownfish. Yeah, it's because their paternal instincts are so strong, they'll even look after eggs that aren't theirs. And this happens to be because of a hormone similar to oxytocin, which is, you know, that love hormone that makes humans want to be loving dads. And
Right. What
they found in clownfish is that their paternal instincts are so intense that you could actually take a male seahorse and just drop a bunch of their eggs from another nest near the clownfish, and he'd actually protect them. He'd protect them, he'd clean them, fan them, all of that, just like they were his own.
Wow. I would assume this would just apply to fish eggs. Like if you drop some chicken eggs underwater, I doubt they would take. But let's think about other fish. Like other fish wouldn't do this?
No, I mean, most of the fish species would just eat the eggs.
All right. Well, I knew you would start with an animal fact, but that is a good one. I feel like we have to at least acknowledge the inspiration for Father's Day, and that's a man by the name of William Jackson Smart. Now, Smart was a Union soldier in the Civil War, and several years after the war, Smart's wife died, leaving him with his daughter, Sonora, who was 16 at the time, and her five younger brothers. Well, Sonora was so inspired by her father's dedication to them that after attending a Mother's Day celebration at her church back in 1909, she decided if there's a day to recognize mothers, there should be one to recognize fathers. And as she put it, several years after his passing, "I remember everything about him. He was both father and mother to me and my brothers and sisters."
So I'm also going to talk about a dad from way back. And actually, I'm going to go way, way back to a father who was willing to forgive. And that's Charlemagne, who was pretty busy doing whatever the Holy Roman Emperor did during the early Middle Ages. And apparently one of those things was having 20 children.
Oh, wow.
But despite having so many children, Charlemagne was insistent that his kids be well-educated, whether they were his sons or daughters. And some of his kids were born to wives and some to concubines. But his oldest son, unfortunately known as Pepin the Hunchback, was eventually passed over to be the next in line to rule. And this was likely because he was considered to be illegitimate. Well, this didn't sit well with Pepin, and he and a few others conspired to assassinate Charlemagne. So you'd think that they would have all been put to death, right? But instead, the emperor did something merciful, and he decided to spare him and instead send him off to a monastery for the rest of his life.
Wow, such a forgiving dad. That is wild. And 20 kids, that's just unbelievable. All right, Well, I'm going to hop on over to the world of pop culture. And as we know, Ron Howard's been in the news a lot recently, both directing Solo, and of course, he's also the executive producer and the narrator of one of the funniest shows ever, Arrested Development. And I'm not sure anyone has had more of an interesting career in TV and film than Ron Howard, but the world first got to know little Ronnie Howard when he was just 6 years old in his role as Opie Taylor. And if you've ever seen the show, you remember that iconic opening scene when Opie and Andy are just walking along that dirt path, holding their fishing poles. You remember this, right?
Yeah, of course. Every time I think about it, it makes me want to whistle.
Right. Well, you probably also remember the part where Opie picks up a rock and tosses it into the water. I'm not sure why, but apparently this was an important part of the scene to the director because it turns out Opie wasn't quite strong enough or coordinated enough to get the rock all the way to the water,
which is funny
because it's not like it was that far away. So they tried a couple of times, and both times the rock fell short of the water. So what they did was they had a prop man hide behind a bush, and when Opie threw the next one, the assistant director then yelled, "Throw it!" And the prop man tossed another rock the rest of the way so that it would splash in the water. And so that's why if you're watching closely, and you may have noticed this before if you've been watching really closely, but you'll see a bit of gravity defiance in that lag from the throw to the splash.
So I'm totally going back and watching this online now. And unrelated to this, despite all that Ron Howard has accomplished, it's hard for me not to immediately think of one of his appearances on Saturday Night Live. I mean, you know, we're both longtime SNL fans, and this was back in the Eddie Murphy days.
I actually already know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, when Murphy mixed up two of his most famous characters, Opie Taylor and then Richie Cunningham from Happy Days, and then called him Opie Cunningham.
Yeah, and then he proceeded to try and get the studio audience to chant, "Opie Cunningham! Opie Cunningham!"
Opie Cunningham.
It was great.
So great.
All right, so what do you have next?
Well, I also have one from the world of pop culture, but I think I'm going to save it and instead talk about the record for the oldest person to father a child. Now, there have not surprisingly been several claims to this title since it's often really difficult to verify the date of birth for people born a century ago, but the one that seems at least pretty close to accurate is an Indian man by the name of Ramjeet Raghav, who had his first child at the age of 94, and I say first child because he had his second at 96, and I believe he's still alive at the age of 102-ish.
That is incredible. Wow.
Yeah, and he's kind of the poster boy or poster old man for vegetarianism because that's actually what he credits for his, quote, stamina and virility.
Wow. You remember how you were a vegetarian for so long? I mean,
I know you're
mostly vegetarian these days, but you'd been vegetarian for years. But your diet consisted of, I would guess, I'd put the estimate at 60% was McDonald's French fries. And then, of course, we learned that they'd been cooked in animal fat for all of those years.
Which is A for effort, right?
I guess so. All right, well, back to history. So did you know that the term founding fathers wasn't actually coined until the 20th century? So the term first appeared in a speech by Warren G. Harding. This was, of course, the same man who won on his inspiring campaign slogan, a return to normalcy.
I feel like I get goosebumps just hearing that phrase.
Yeah, me too. Well, anyway, in his 1920 acceptance speech, he said, "It was the intent of the founding fathers to give this republic a dependable and enduring popular government." But even after that, the term wasn't really that common until Kenneth Bernard Umbright published the book. It was called Founding Fathers, Men Who Shaped Our Tradition.
Okay, well, we each have one more fact to go, but before we get to that, let's take a quick break. Welcome back to Part-Time Genius, where we're sharing facts about fathers. Okay, Will, so what's your last fact of the day?
All right, well, you know, I was curious to look at which cultures put a greater emphasis on fathers spending time with their children, and it was really interesting to read about the Akha Pygmy people in Central Africa. And this was for a couple of reasons. So first, a few studies have shown that Akha fathers spend more time with their infant children than any other society, with one study showing that they have their infants within arm's reach nearly 50% of their time. Now, wow. But another thing that was interesting to me, just in general about the Akha, is just how interchangeable the male and female roles are. In fact, they almost don't have male and female roles. So sometimes the women will hunt and the men will take care of the children. Sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes the men will prepare meals while the women are preparing the next camp. And of course, you know, vice versa.
That's really interesting. All right, well, for my last fact, as promised, I'm going to go back to pop culture. And a couple of years ago, GQ had this online poll slash tournament where they were trying to determine the greatest dad in TV history. And the final four came down to Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince, Tim the Toolman Taylor, Jay Pritchett from Modern Family, who, by the way, beat out himself as Al Bundy just to get there. And then there was Homer Simpson. And Uncle Phil ended up winning, and yes, he was, of course, a good dad. But I actually think I agree with the GQ writer, John Ortveg, who wrote of Homer, quote, "He takes a night job at the Quickie Mart so he can afford a pony for Lisa. He sends Bart to summer camp even when Bart fails to make the grades agreed upon to earn the indulgence. He gives up his dream job at a bowling alley so that he can afford to support a third child." I mean, for as much of a goofball as Homer Simpson is, it's obvious he loves his kids.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. So I would wish upon all of us that may we all have the dedication of the Akha dads and the sacrifice of Homer Simpson. So, you know, I was going to give the fact off trophy to you for that last fact. It was a good one. But then, you know, I thought maybe we should give it to all the dads out there for Father's Day. But, you know, I got to say, Mango, I don't know if you've been watching Tristan these last few days over there with these sea monkeys he's been raising on his desk. Have you caught a glimpse of this at all?
I have. And you can see how proud he is of each and every sea monkey.
Every single one of them. And only about half of them are dead at this point. So he's just doing a great job. So here's to Tristan. And happy Father's Day to our dads and all the fathers and father figures out there.
Thanks again to Mouth Media for hosting me today, and thanks to Eves Jeffcoat for her always helpful research. And we'll be back with a full-length episode on Wednesday.